Okay, Parshas Drachim, this is the Drush HaShlishi. So he starts with the Medrash and Bereishis Rabbah, Parsha Mem Dalad, Simen Dalad, that says, Al Tira Avram. Avram was afraid, and Hashem says to him, Scharcha Harbe Me'od, don't be afraid. So the Medrash says, Al Tira Avram, because Avram was afraid since Hashem had saved him from the Kivshan Eish, and had also saved him from the four kings. So he thought maybe he used up all his schar. So Hashem said, don't worry, schercha harbe mod, as it says, Ma rav tovcha asher tzofante l'reyecha. How much good is there that you hid for those who fear you? Okay, that's the Midrash. Okay, so that's just the introduction. What he's going to start off with is his chakira here, which is the following. We had discussed in the previous Drushim, whether the Avos or Klal Yisrael before Matan Torah had the status of a Ben Noach or the status of Israel. So the question here is, whatever status they had when they were Mekayim the Torah Kodem Shenitna, let's say they decided they're in the mood one day not to keep the Torah. Let's say Yitzchak wakes up one morning and says, I don't want to keep, or Avram, or whatever. They're not in the mood that day. Or whatever reason, they have a cheshbon. Let's say the Avos weren't in the mood. But let's say they had a cheshbon. They don't want to keep the Torah that day. You know, the extra mitzvahs. Obviously, Sheva mitzvahs ben Enoch, they certainly have to keep. Let's say, for whatever reason, they don't want to keep a mitzvah one day. Did they get punished? In other words, once they opted in and said, I want to keep the Torah mitzvahs, Kodem Shenitna, was there any punishment if they didn't? Or was it just, you know, like in a mitzvah vosa, if you want today, if a lady today wants to sit in the sukkah, she can, she wants to not, she doesn't have to. Was it totally optional, or once they accepted it upon themselves, did it become a chiyuv for them to do it? So he brings that there's a machlokus about this. The Mizrahi, at the beginning of Parshas Chayei Sarah, where it says Sarah was 127. So we have we know the drush of Chazal, Rashi brings it, it's by Avram as well, that Avram was like 100 and like 5, whatever, like 70, like 5, like 100. So when the Chazal darshan that Avram was like, when he was 70, he was like 5 in terms of chait. And it says a similar thing by Sarah, that she, when she was 100, she was like 20 for chait. So the Mizrahi says, I understand the 70 like 5. The 5, just like a 5-year-old, is not chayiv in anything and has no aveir. So to Avram, when he was 70, was perfectly clean. But saying that Sarah was like, when she was like 20 to chait, what's the number 20? 20 is the number of when a person is punished by Shemayim. Like based in Shalmala, they don't punish a person until they're 20 years old. So it's saying that just like a 20-year-old has no chait in the sense that based in Shalmala will not punish anyone who's under 20. So too, Sarah was like that when she was 100, she was like 20 for chait. Okay, the problem with that is, says the Mizrahi, is that that's all for Dine Shamayim. But let's say a 13-year-old, or if it's a girl, a 12-year-old, kills someone. Once you're bar bas mitzvah, based in this world, will punish someone. They will kill someone. They will kill a bar mitzvah boy if he kills someone else. Right? Once a person reaches the age of bar mitzvah, they're chayiv in this world. It's only in Dine Shemayim, they're not chayiv till they're 20. So ask the Mizrahi, why didn't it mention that Sarah was like she was 20? Why didn't it, a better thing to say was that she was like younger than that, like a by Avram, that she wasn't chayiv even in anything. So he says, perhaps it says that because there's no havamina she should be chayiv in Dine Adam, because since it was Kodem Matan Torah, she can't be chayiv in anything. What he says is that the only thing she's chayiv in is Dine Shamayim, but she's not chayiv in Dine Adam because they didn't have to keep the Torah. So in this world, no basin is going to make Sarah be chayiv for doing something, for doing an Aveira, because they didn't have to keep the Torah yet. It's just in Dine Shemayim she would be chayiv. And therefore the Torah tells you, no, she wasn't even chayiv in Dine Shemayim, she was like completely clean. And then he asks, what about Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach? Okay, but the point that we need from that is, you see that the Mizrahi clearly understood that they are chayiv, that the Avos were chayiv in Dine Shemayim. In other words, once they accepted to keep the Torah, the extra mitzvahs, they were chayiv in Dine Shemayim. So, seems clear from Mizrahi that once the Avos opted in, their chayim and Dine Shemayim to keep the Torah, there was a punishment if they would not have kept it. So the Ma'arash Yafa disagrees. The Ma'arash Yafa says that on that Mizrahi, that he doesn't understand what he's talking about. It has to be that the Avos didn't have to keep the Torah, because if they did, how is it that Yaakov was able to marry two sisters? right? Yaakov married two sisters, that shouldn't have been done. So therefore, it must be that the Avos did not have to keep the Torah, even Midinei Shamayim. Okay, so now the Parshas Drachim, Mishnah Melech, he doesn't understand that question at all. Because the Maharei Shafa himself answered that question. If you remember from the previous Drushim, he was of the opinion that the Avos had a din of a Yisrael Kodem Matan Torah, in which case Rachel and Leah were Megayer, they converted to be Jewish, and a Gerush and Iskar is Kekatan Shinola Dami, which means that Rachel and Leah were not related at all to each other, in which case Yaakov had a right to marry both. So you don't understand what the question is. He himself answered that there's no issue because they were Gerim, Rachel and Leah, and therefore Yaakov had a right to marry them, even B'dinei Torah. So he doesn't understand exactly what his question was. But anyway, as to the Iker issue about were the Avos Chayev and Dinei Shamayim or not, so that he says, he thinks it's Tali in what he's talked about in these other Drushim. Did the Jews, Kodem Matan Torah, have a status of a Ben Noach or a Yisrael? Because if you hold that they had the status of a Yisrael, it doesn't make sense, he says, that the mitzvahs that they kept were optional. Because if you had a status of a Jew, even Lakula, it has to mean something. So they must have, at least Medinei Shemayim, they had to keep whatever they had, whatever mitzvahs they knew about. But if you held that they had the status of Ben Noach, then it's impossible, he says, to say that they would be Chayim Medinei Shemayim. If they had a status of Ben Noach, he gives that example, that it's like a woman who's Eina Mitzvah Vosef. She wants to do a mitzvah, okay. She can sit in the sukkah if she wants to do a mitzvah, say Shazman Grama. If she decides she wants to sit in the sukkah, good. The next day she's not in the mood to sit in the sukkah, she doesn't have to sit in the sukkah. And that's, if you hold the Jews had a status of Ben Noach, you can't say it was more than that. It had to be that it was just optional. But if you hold that they had a status of Yisrael, so then it makes more sense to him to say that there would be a din Shemayim if they didn't keep the mitzvahs that they knew about. Okay, but he says it's clear that the Maharash Yafa and the Mizrahi did not agree with him because, as he explained, as we said in the previous Drushim, the Mizrahi is of the opinion that the Jews had the status of a Ben Noach Kodem Matan Torah. And he's the one who says that there's a Chiyuv B'dinei Shemayim if they didn't keep the Torah mitzvahs that they accepted. And the Maharash Yafa was of the opinion that the Jews had a status of a Yisrael Kodem Matan Torah. And he's of the opinion that they did not have B'dinei Shemayim Kodem Matan Torah. So it's a stira. Which he says, yes, that's true. They obviously disagree with him, but that's what he holds. He holds there should be telling whether you had held the Jews at a status of a Ben Noach Kodem Matan Torah or the status of Jews. Now it's interesting this whole idea about, Yaakov marrying two sisters versus Avram, which is what we're talking about. Avram and Sarah. There's a very fascinating Shuvas Ramah and Simon Yud that says that only Avram Avinu kept the whole Torah, not his sons. Which is fascinating. Certainly not everybody agrees to that, but it's a very interesting Ramah that it was only Avram Avinu who kept the whole Torah, but not his children. And his proof is Yaakov, who married two sisters. And the Maral as well. The Maral says also that Avram Avinu kept the Torah and the mitzvos asei and los asei, but his children only kept aseis, not los aseis. And Maral's famous in Gur Aryeh for saying that you can't opt in to los aseis. You can't decide, a kohen's not allowed to marry a grusha, I'm also going to be machmir, I'm also not going to marry a grusha. It's ridiculous. If you're not mitzvah in it, you can't opt in to say, I'm going to be machmir and also not marry a grusha. Los aseis are not shayach to volunteer for. Aseis you can be volunteer for. So he says that when the Avos kept the Torah, they kept the Losa, they kept the Asays only, not the Losa Asays, which is how Yaakov could marry two sisters. But he says in the Maral and Tiferes Yisrael, in Perek Yutes, that Avram Avinu kept both. Okay, how that works, you could see there, but that's what he says. Okay, that all is the introduction. Now he wants to explain some psukim in Vayechi, and this takes a long time to get from beginning to end, so I don't know how much time we'll have in this session, but we got to go in order, so let's start it. So first, he wants to discuss the psukim at the beginning of Vayechi. So the pasuk says it's in Parak Memches, pasuk Gimel. It says Vayomer Yaakov el Yosef, Kel Shakai Nira Elai Beluz Beretz Kanan Vayevarchus Hashem appeared to me in Luz. He blessed me. Vayomer Elai Hineni Mafrachav Yerbisicha. I'm going to make you great. Nasaticha Lekalamei Benasati Saretz Azot Lazarecha Acharecha Achuzas Olam. I'll give this land to you, to your children after you, forever. V'ata, and now Shnei Venecha, and Abzulim Lachaber, it's talking about Boy Lechem Mitzrayim Elihim. Your two children, Ephraim and Manasseh, will be like Reuven and Shimon, they'll be like for me. Amoladcha, Shalat Elohim Lachayu, but after them, it's for you. And then it says, "Vani bevoy mi padan meisa alai Rachel." And I, when I came from Padan Aram, Rachel died for me, Beretz Canaan, and I buried her there in Beis Lechem. That's the psukim. So he says, there's a lot of questions to ask about these psukim. First of all, what does it mean, meisa alai? Rachel died on me. What does it mean, on me? What's the relevance that it was that Hashem appeared to him in Luz in Eretz Canaan? And the last part that we're all familiar with, why is he starting mentioning that Rachel died on him after discussing this, so that we know from Rashi that Chazal tell us that Yaakov was saying to Yosef, I know you're upset at me that I buried Rachel not in Maris HaMachpelah. And it's because she died on me on the way to Eretz Canaan. Okay, but the Parashat Rachem says that's very nice, but then that should have been at the beginning of the Parashat. When Yaakov says, please bury me in Israel, that's the time he should have said, by the way, I know you're upset that I didn't bury Rachel in Maris HaMachpelah, and I had a reason for that, because Hashem told me that I had to bury her there so that when her children pass, she'll die. That whole thing should have been there at the beginning when he said, please bury me in Israel. Why is it here, after Hashem appears to him and says, I'm going to give you Eretz Yisrael, why is it talk about it now? Okay. Furthermore, the pasuk says va'ata, and now shnei benecha nadilu mecha. What's the meaning of the word va'ata? Okay. One more question: what is the Indian of this matana that he gave, that Yaakov was giving to Ephraim and Manasseh, that they will be a bechor for me? So we know the Ramban holds that Eretz Yisrael was divided up into 12 even portions, and Yosef got an extra portion. That was the chelik bechor that he got, and that was only given. Two, that Chelek Bechor was only given to Ephraim and Manasseh. And the Ramban holds that Yosef had other children. It wasn't just Ephraim and Manasseh. He did have other children. They got like a Chelek Pashut. They did not get any part of the Chelek Bechor. Only Ephraim and Manasseh got the Chelek Bechor. So the question the Parshat Rachem has is, why did Yaakov want to even mess with this? Why didn't he just say, Yosef, Reuven was supposed to get the double portion. I'm giving it to you. Happy birthday, whatever. You're going to get the double portion. And Shine, why did you need to mess with only Ephraim and Manasseh? Like, whatever. Let it be Yosef's children. Why didn't it have to be Ephraim and Manasseh especially are going to get the Chelek Bechora, not the rest of Yosef's kids that he would have afterwards? So to explain all this, again, I don't know how much time we'll have, but to explain all this, you have to know a Gemara in Bava Basra. That says the following. The Gemara says, Nichsi lach v'acharayich leploni. Let's say someone gives over their nechasim. He says, he gives his nechasim over to Reuven. And he says, Reuven, after you die, they should go to Shimon. Okay, now what happens? Reuven goes ahead, he gets the nechasim, and he sells them before he dies. And then he dies. Now what? So Rebbe says, so Shimon, who was supposed to get it after Reuven dies, Shimon could go over to the guy that Reuven sold it. Let's call him Levi. Reuven sold it to Levi while he was alive. Shimon goes over to Levi, according to Rebbe, and says, hey, that's mine. It was supposed to go to me after Reuven dies, and Shimon can get it back. Shimon Gamliel says, no. Ein l'sheni ela masha she'irishon. If guy number one sold it, if Reuven sold it while he was alive, Shimon's out of luck. And the Gemara says that the halacha is like Shimon Gamliel, that if Reuven sold it, Shimon is out of luck. However, there are times when even Reb Shimon Gamliel would agree to Rebbe. And that is the following. Number one, if Reuven didn't sell it while he was alive, rather he gave it as a matna shchiv mira. A matna shchiv mira means when Reuven's on his deathbed, he says he wants his nechasim, all his assets to go to whoever, he gives them all away. And so that is chal after the guy dies. So since it only happens once Reuven dies that his money will go to, he wants his money to go to Levi, it only kicks in once he dies in Matnash Chimira, so Shimon comes first, because it was supposed to go to Shimon once Reuven dies. So since it's only Chal after he dies, so then Shimon gets it. That's one case where Shimon Gamliel would agree that Shimon can get it back, gets it by Matnash Chimira. And secondly, if Reuven does not sell it to say Levi, but let's say Reuven gives it as a matana to his children. If Reuven gives it as a gift to his own children before he dies, that does not count. That's like giving it to himself, that doesn't count. And then Shimon could go get it back from the kids. Why is that? So the Rambam explains, because the whole intention of the guy who whoever this person is who gave this gift to Reuven and says that after you die it should go to Shimon, obviously what he meant was it shouldn't go to your kids, Reuven. I want it after you die to not be inherited. I want it to go to Shimon. So Reuven giving it as a gift to his kids doesn't work, because that was the whole intention of the Matana. And therefore, if Reuven gives it to his children, it doesn't work. It goes to Shimon after Reuven dies. That's the Magid Mishnah's explanation of the Rambam when he brings this in. One other thing it's important to know is that when we said a Matnas Chiv Mira doesn't work, that's only if it said Stama. But if the guy on his deathbed says, I want it to be Kona Me'achshav, it's not a Matnas Chiv Mira. The guy on his deathbed said, I'm giving a Kenyan right now before I die, that this should be Kona now, then that's not a Matnas Chiv Mira. That's a regular Matana, and whoever gave it to gets it. Okay, where does that leave us? Well, the Parshat Jachim wants to say that's exactly what happened in these psukim. Hashem is saying, this land that I promised to Avraham and Mitzchak, I'm giving to you, ulezaracha acharecha. So he says, that's exactly what that Gemara Bar Basra in Yesh Nochlin, by the way, if you want to look it up, it's on Kuflam Zayin Amud Beis. Kuflam Zayin, whatever you see there. So that's exactly what it's talking about. Nichsilach v'acharayach leploni. So Hashem is saying, I'm giving that land that I promised to your fathers, I'm giving to you, Yaakov, and Zarecha Acharecha. So this is exactly that Gemara. So when Yaakov dies, it's supposed to go evenly to his children. That's the way Hashem wanted. I'm giving it to you, Yaakov, and after you die, it goes to your children. Okay, fine. So when Yaakov goes ahead and says, Yosef, I'm giving it to you. The Chelek Bechura, I'm giving to you. Meaning all the Shvatim are supposed to get the whole Eretz Yisrael after me, because that's what Hashem said. I'm giving an extra chilek to you, Yosef. Okay, that means he's taking it away. He's giving it away as a matana, that which it should have gone to the other Shvatim. He's giving it to one Shevet. He's giving it to Yosef. Okay, so that's that, like Rishon ben Gamliel, that works. But we have a problem. We just said there are two exceptions where even Rishon ben Gamliel says it doesn't work. One exception is if it's a Matnas Chiv Mira, which this appears to be. Yosef saying this before, Yaakov saying this before he dies. That's number one. Also, number two, he's giving it to his children, which we said is also an example where it does not work. Okay, so that's how you want to understand the psukim, that Yaakov was saying ve'ata, now. What he was trying to say is, this is not a Matnas Chiv Mira. I'm giving this to you that you should be Kona. You, Yosef, and your two children, Ephraim and Menashe, should be Kona now. So I'm not doing a Matnas Chiv Mira. It's a real kinyan that they should be Kona now. And number two, I'm only giving it to Ephraim and Menashe. So I'm not just giving it to my kids that they should inherit it. I'm giving it specifically not to just you, Yosef. Specifically, two of your grandkids can be Yorishit. Can get it. So that makes it that it's not like it was a regular Din Yerusha, because he's leaving out people. It's not just you, Yosef. It's not just your kids. Two kids in particular only get it. Nobody else can touch it. That Chelek Bechora. So that he's giving as a full Matana, not Pateras Yerusha. Rather, he's giving it as a Matana, and that he said would work. The truth is that in terms of this actual halacha, one is not l'chadchila. You're not supposed to. Reuven is not supposed to sell it to Shimon. But okay. Anyway, that's what happened. That's what happened here. That's how he understands what Yaakov was doing when he said Ata. He was trying to give a specific matana to only two kids, so it wouldn't be at the Yerusha, wouldn't be at the Matnas Chiv Mira. This way, Ephraim and Menashe. That's why Ephraim and Menashe only had to get it, so that it would be a full matana. And there's more, but we'll have to stop here.